Cannon boy, he'd been a gardener rather than a farmer or an arboriculturalist. Ironically, Fred, the man in charge of the woodlands, was unable to get in due to fallen trees, so Barry had said he would go and see the extent of the damage before returning to the gardens.
"Are we going to open today, boss?"
asked one of the junior gardeners, a young girl with piercings and blue hair. Barry wondered what Emily's pain was. A lot of troubled souls were drawn to gardening, but she worked hard, and maybe he was just an old dinosaur.
"Did you drive or walk to work this morning?" he asked.
"I walked."
"So you won't have seen the big old tree lying across the entrance to the car park then?"
The staff that had made it to work had had to park on the verge before they went and picked up the chainsaws.
"We'll be closed today, and depending on what we find now, we might be closed for a few days."
He studied the small team that had made it in. They would have to do.
"You've all got your radios. Call into the office with details of damage. Sheila will be keeping note of everything. Don't bother with the small stuff, we know there's lots of that."
"What about the broken glass?" Emily asked.
"Yes, if the greenhouses are damaged, call it in. Do not enter them."
He paused and thought about it.
"Also, don't stand too close to any brick walls."
"You think it's going to be that bad, Barry?"
That was Sheila, looking concerned. Sheila was an excellent administrator, but would sometimes drive him potty with her adherence to matters around health and safety.
"Don't know, but I don't want to find out that a wall has collapsed and one of you is under it. If you see anything that looks off, call it in, and we'll get the building team down for an assessment."
He stood up.
"Now you've all got your areas. I'm starting with the lower woods and making my way back up. I'll have my radio on at all times. Let's go."
After leaving the office shed, Barry threw himself into one of the electric buggies. He made it as far as the entrance to the formal gardens, then the path became unpassable. Broken terracotta pots and branches were strewn across the path. He jumped out and walked along a cobbled cut-through that doubled as a water channel, and slipped down to the lower paths between two large yew hedges. The garden had been designed to weave visitors slowly through the various areas of the estate. Most workers knew plenty of shortcuts, but Barry knew them all. At 9 o'clock, the clouds had all but lifted, showing the extent of the damage. Large ornate wrought iron gates led from the formal gardens into the arboretum, and the lower woods below that framed the river valley. Looking over the canopy, Barry could see gaps that hadn't been there before. He spoke into the radio.
"Lots of damage in the lower woods. Looks like someone has been playing dominoes. A few trees down in the arboretum. Just going to check on the old man."
The old man was an oak that stood on a prominent ridge overlooking the surrounding estate. It was a feature of Ligon and appeared on a lot of their publicity. It also marked the border between the public grounds and the farmland beyond. As Barry walked up the path towards it, he realised he should have seen its crown already, and sadness enveloped him. The old man had been a feature of his life. As nippers, he and his mates would race up the hill to slap the trunk. They would climb its branches, claiming they could see the north coast from the top. That wasn't feasible, of course. From that angle, they could barely see their own coastline, but that never stopped kids from boasting of their prowess. When they'd finished climbing and playing on the rope swing, they would roll and tumble down the hill before the beast would come shouting at them about trespass. The beast was the name they'd given Mr. Havistock, owner of Ligon. He would come roaring out, firing his shotgun into the sky. Mikey swore the beast had once nicked his ear, but everyone knew that had happened when he'd tried to vault some barbed wire and got tangled up in it instead. But now, Mikey had moved away, might even be dead, and Barry was head groundsman. The beast was his boss, and as Barry reached the top of the hill, he could see the old man was no more. The giant oak was lying on one side.